Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, 12:30, Chris Russell will jump on with us, and we'll talk Caps with him. Their big win last night. They are in the postseason. They will face the Rangers. Game one, I don't think, is set yet, but it'll happen some point Saturday or Sunday. But 8 days away, 1 week from tomorrow night, we will be on the clock here in Washington at number two after what we all expect to be Caleb Williams going number one to Chicago. Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is Luke Easterling. Luke's been on the show before. He is a draft evaluator, a draft expert for Athlon Sports. You can cover, follow Luke on X on Twitter, at Luke Easterling. So before I get to your latest mock draft, Luke, and who you think Washington will take, give me your order after evaluating these quarterbacks. What's your order of, let's just say, the top, you know, six that are perceived top six, you know, before you get to somebody like Rattler?
Yeah, so, I mean, at the top, I still think it's Caleb Williams. You know, I know he had kind of a roller coaster year last year, and maybe kind of didn't live up to expectations, but I think it's, you know, I think he was undefeated in games in which the Trojans didn't give up 35 or more points. So I think there's a lot to be said for the supporting cast that he was working with there. So I think talent-wise, I think he's still at the top of that group. I think that just below him is its own tier with Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think they bring different things to the table. I think Drake May is probably a little bit better of a pocket passer. He's still a good athlete. He can still make, you know, plays outside the pocket, pick up some extra yards when you need him to. He can maneuver within the pocket. Jaden Daniels, I thought, made huge strides as a pocket passer last year, got a lot better than we had seen him. And obviously, he's just got elite game-breaking speed. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that keeps defensive coordinators awake at night. So depending on what you like, I'm sure we'll get into this with the Washington side of things. But, you know, those two guys are really 2A, 2B for me. And then I think there's a decent gap after that. The next guy is Michael Penix Jr. for me. I know that's not going to be the way it plays out during the draft. I'm fully expecting J.J. McCarthy to be a top 10, maybe even top 5 pick. In terms of my own evaluations of them, though, Michael Penix Jr. would be the fourth quarterback in that group. I'd feel comfortable with him, you know, anytime on the back half of the first round. I just think he's one of the best pure throwers in this draft. He proved at the pro day how much of an athlete he is. I know he didn't get to show it as much in Washington's scheme. He didn't really have to. But again, clean bill of health at the combine, 2 straight years with no injuries, led the FBS in passing. He's got a rocket arm. I like Michael Penix Jr. as the fourth best quarterback. And then the next group is all kind of grouped together. I'd actually put Spencer Rattler in that next group. J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, I think they all bring very different things. If you want the younger, you know, more upside type of guy, maybe hasn't had as much to prove as a passer because of his supporting cast, kind of the opposite of Caleb Williams, and that's J.J. McCarthy. If you want experience, efficiency, you know, accuracy, all those things that Bo Nix brings to the table, he'd probably be your guy. And then Spencer Rattler, I think, will appeal to a lot of teams because he has overcome the adversity, right? He was golden child, you know, documentary subject to, you know, benched for Caleb Williams and then transferred to South Carolina. All the physical tools are still there. I think his experience of kind of the peaks and valleys of his career have prepared him mentally very well for the pro game. And I think in the right fit, man, I could imagine him in a team like the Rams sitting behind Matthew Stafford for a year and then really, really excelling in a scheme like Sean McVay. I really think there's not much separating Nix and McCarthy from Rattler at this point for me.
You know, you said something right at the beginning, and I've said recently that the one thing that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May all have in common is that they played on teams that were just horrendous defensively. And I think you said that Caleb Williams basically won every game that he started as long as his team didn't give up, what, 40 or something like that?
Yeah,
a game?
Like 35. I think it was like 34 or 35. He was undefeated or like only lost one game or something like that. It's wild.
Yeah, the three losses for Jaden Daniels last year, his team gave up 42, 45, and 55. And Drake May's losses this year, 31, 46, 31, and 39. I mean, these three quarterbacks, and one of the reasons I think, you know, and I'm with you, by the way, on Penix Jr. ahead of McCarthy, but I think one of the reasons is when you watch some of these teams, like Washington would fit into the not necessarily as bad as SC's defense or LSU's defense for sure, but those quarterbacks were required to carry those teams, and so we saw so much of them essentially strapping teams to their back and winning games.
Yeah, and again, that's the difficulty with a guy like McCarthy is that you
right.
saw flashes and moments where it's like, oh, there is the guy I think he can be at the next level. There's another moment. You just have to put a lot of projection into his ability to do that on a regular basis if required against NFL defenses. You have to be able to believe that he can – that basically what we saw was the exception in college can become the rule for him at the next level, and that's just a huge jump that I would not be willing to make in the top five, top ten picks.
Luke Easterling from Athlon Sports is joining us. All right, let's focus in on number two. You had Daniels 2A, Drake May 2B. So you think Washington should select Jaden Daniels? What do you think they will do?
You know, I think they will take Daniels, and I think I would too. I think, again, when you compare both of these guys, they're not perfect. They both have moments where you can still see that there's some growth to be had there. But Jaden Daniels, again, he's a very experienced quarterback. I mean, go back to his days at Arizona State. He's played a lot of football. And I feel like, again, the jump that he made as a passer over the last season that he was in college, very similar, in my opinion, to the growth we saw from Lamar Jackson the last year he was at Louisville, where he grew so much as a passer, not just from, you know, rolling out and making plays on the move, but doing it from the pocket, making tight window throws, making those deep ball throws. And obviously everybody will say, oh, well, he had Malik Nabers and he had Brian Thomas Jr. Be like, yeah, but if they didn't have a great quarterback, we'd be talking about the fact that they suffered because of that. You have to have a quarterback that can take advantage of those guys. And obviously Jaden Daniels did that. So if you're Terry McLaurin, you know, if you're Jahan Dotson, you're those guys that can make plays. He will maximize those guys. And when you're able to put the cherry on top with his ability to just, I mean, go watch the Alabama game, go watch the Florida game. He's making SEC defenders look like peewee players. I mean, he just from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye and can just eliminate angles and make DBs look silly and take off for 80 yards at any moment. That matters in today's NFL more than it ever has before. And so with the growth that he made as a passer and the absolute game-breaking ability that he brings as a runner, I think that's just what gives him the edge for me, and I think that's what will give him the edge for Washington.
What concerns you about Daniels?
I think the only thing that would concern me about Daniels is maybe he's a little light. You know, obviously he's a little thin-framed, and you know, Lamar Jackson was similar coming out of college too, and you worry about maybe staying healthy. But again, the mobility helps with that. He's going to be able to be smart, try to avoid hits and not be hit as much as he possibly could. And then the other one is the production at the level we saw last year was really just 1 year, right? We saw a big, when you see a big jump in 1 year at the end of a guy's career, you kind of wonder, you know, is everything we saw up to this point more what we're going to get at the next level? Or is what we saw at the very end of his career going to be the jumping point? Is he going to continue to be that guy, continue to grow from that point? Or is he going to regress back to the mean, basically? I think those are really the only caveats I would have with Jaden Daniels. But, man, I love the upside so much. I love what he brings to the table that I'd be willing to make that risk.
Do any of sort of the advanced analytics, pressure to sack percentage, you know, intermediate throws, lack of at the college level, tight window throws, does any of that concern you?
You know, I don't get a ton into the weeds on some of those more advanced stats. I really just try to look at the film and say, when those situations arise, what does he do? And I think, particularly, I think one of the false criticisms of Jaden Daniels is that, and this happens to a lot of mobile guys, right? If you're fast as a quarterback, it seems like a very prominent, very lazy narrative, in my opinion, is that you're automatically a one read and take off quarterback. And that's just, it's just not true. And it's not true with Jaden Daniels. I can find you plenty of moments, plenty of plays where he's back in the pocket. He's jumping on his feet from, and you can see him. You can watch him go from number one to number two to come back to a backside dig, to come back to a backside post, and not take off and run unless he absolutely has to. And so I think that growth for me is what gives me confidence that whole narrative that he's just going to, you know, he's not able to make progressions. He's not able to go through full field reads. He's not able to process opposing defenses. That's not what I saw on film. I just didn't see that. And again, there may be some analytic numbers that, you put enough data into a system, it can churn out some things that might concern you. When I watched the film, I didn't see enough of a problem in any of those areas to make me concerned.
Yeah, I think that's important, and I've tried to emphasize it, that people who have come into this a little bit late and just looked at highlights, they see the running and they assume he's a dual-threat quarterback, he's a running quarterback. He excelled, I thought, in the pocket in a lot of the ways that you just described, not to mention I think he's a very good thrower of the football. You know, I just noticed this, and I probably said this to you the last time you were on, but Luke in 2018, before the draft, said, Lamar Jackson's my number one quarterback in the upcoming draft. Now, if you went back and redrafted 2018, would you take Josh Allen first?
I mean, I wouldn't, just because I feel like Lamar gives you a little bit something different, and I don't think he turns the ball over, particularly through the air, with the same regularity. That's really the biggest thing. Everybody loves to jump on my – pat me on the back for the Lamar take. I had a third-round grade on Josh Allen that year, so the spectrum evened out, I think, that I was very right about Lamar, but maybe a little bit wrong about Josh Allen being able to become the quarterback he was so quickly. But I think that's why, I think – Lamar's ability to take care of the football and how he's grown in that way, and that is still something that at this point in his career, Josh Allen is still struggling with making the right decisions, with not turning the ball over, especially down the field. I think they both bring very different skill sets as runners. Obviously, it's more speed with Lamar. It's more power with Josh Allen. Obviously, both guys, elite franchise quarterbacks, that would easily go 1-2. But that was something I was passionate about back then, similar to how I am with Jaden Daniels this year, is that it's selling these guys short to say, oh, because you're fast, somehow that automatically means you're lesser of a pocket passer, or you're unable to do certain things because you're fast. I always looked at it the other way around, where I saw a guy who's a very solid, improving passer who also just happens to have this trump card of speed and running ability that nobody else in the class has. And I looked at it as, you know, kind of glass half full as a positive, as opposed to some people that kind of seem to want to view that as a negative.
The Josh I liked in that draft was Rosen. That was not a good call. We're talking to Luke Easterling. One more on Daniels, and then we'll get into May a little bit more. I don't see the comp to Lamar Jackson. Do you? I think he's more advanced as a passer at this point. What do you see?
I do think he's more advanced as a passer. I think the comparison is surface level in a lot of ways, right? He's tall and skinny. He runs really fast, and he, again, made improvements as a passer. But I agree with you. I think he is a more advanced processor and passer coming out than Lamar was coming out in that draft. I think Lamar was better at it than he got credit for, But I think I agree with you. I think Daniels is more advanced, more developed in that way, which again is great news for anybody, you know, whoever takes him, Washington especially. But yeah, I would agree with that. I think that the comparison is much more surface level. When you get into it, I do think there's a lot of things that make Jaden Daniels a better prospect, which is probably why he's going to go top two instead of Lamar, who was barely a first round pick. And some of that is to do with obviously the league progressing and the way they kind of view that position a little bit. But I agree with that.
Lamar's body too is a different body type. He's thick. He's been hurt. I'm not saying that he hasn't gotten hurt and he's missed, you know, critical games and ends of seasons. But it's two different body types. Jaden's legitimately skinny up top anyway, right?
Yeah, there's definitely some difference there. I think he's about an inch taller. I think Lamar's listed at maybe 218, and I think last time we checked, I think Jaden is at 210. So he's a little taller and a little leaner, so it's going to show up that way. But again, that's stuff that you're going to have to learn at the next level anyway. You know, you rely on the veterans around you, rely on your coaching staff. Hey, avoid this, watch out for this, make sure you don't, you know, unless you really need it, don't reach for that extra yard, go ahead and get yourself out of bounds, protect yourself. Those are things he'll be able to learn at the next level, too, to protect himself.
All right. Tell me what concerns you about Drake May. What you like about Drake May and what concerns you about Drake May?
I mean, what I like is just, again, a very well-rounded quarterback. He's got a great arm, one of the best in the class. He's a great athlete, can get out on the move. There's not a throw he can't make, whether he's stationary or he's on the move to either side. And I think he made chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, a lot of the time there with that supporting cast, the offensive line. He was running for his life a good bit of the time, much like Caleb Williams was. Had to deal with not having his best receiver on the field for the first month of the season when Tez Walker was out, waiting for the NCAA to figure out the waiver situation. And so I like a quarterback that has overcome all of those things and still displayed the talent and the ability and the flashes that we saw from him. I think, you know, my biggest concern at the next level would be similar to what we said about Josh Allen, is that there's all world talent there, but every now there's just moments where you're just like, what was that? Like, what was that decision? What was that throw? Why was that? And again, some of that you could attribute to similar to Caleb Williams as well, where it's like you feel like if your defense is always going to give up 30 points, 35 points, you've got to make the biggest play on every snap. Which means you're missing certain, you know, you're taking riskier throws instead of taking safer checkdowns. You end up making more mistakes. You end up turning the ball over more. So I think that would be the only concern at the next level, is that can he progress from saying, hey, I don't have to play hero ball all the time. I can make safer decisions. I can allow my people around me to make plays and live to play another down, as opposed to feeling like he has to save the team on every single play and have an 80-yard touchdown every time, because I think that's what led to some of his low lights that you'll see from his career.
All right. So we'll finish up with this, because you did in your latest mock draft the other day, you did a four-round projection. Washington's got six picks in the top 100, as you know, Luke. And I was very intrigued with who you had them selecting with their first pick in the second round at 36. You had pass rusher, edge rusher, Chop Robinson from Penn State. Do you think there's a legitimate chance he's there that late?
You know, sometimes I go through these exercises and I get surprised when guys are still on the board at certain spots. And so I work my way back and I'm like, did I miss something where there's a spot that's obvious for this guy? Because if you look at Chop Robinson, the athlete, I mean, you're probably talking about a top 15 guy in this draft. I think the rare athletic ability, the explosiveness, he's probably the most explosive edge rusher in the entire draft off the ball. But you just look at how much work there still is left to do. I mean, he's just not polished very, very much at all. He needs to learn some pass rushing moves so he's not just relying on that speed and burst, because that can work to a certain extent in the NFL, but you're going against 6 to 8 year vets that have seen everything and bigger, faster, more athletic guys. And that's, you've got to have something else that when they take the speed away, you've got something else to counter to. He doesn't have that yet. And again, as a run defender, he's still got a lot of growth. So I think that's what could leave him on the board that long, is if there are just teams throughout the first round that are like, man, he's a great athlete. I don't know if we have the time and the patience to invest in rounding out his game, as opposed to taking this other position or this other guy that might be able to help us more right away. That I think is what would lead to him falling into the second round there. I still would be really, really surprised if it happens. This is kind of the first time that's happened in a mock exercise for me. I think if he was there at 33 for Carolina, I think they'd probably jump at that chance. even though they need receiver help. Tampa Bay in the 20s, I think, would like to have him if the board fell right. So, I mean, it won't surprise me if he stays in the first round, but, I mean, he was on the board for them there, and obviously after trading away both their edge guys, I thought it made a lot of sense there.
They have a need for a pass rusher, for an edge rusher. They have big needs across the offensive line, specifically at tackle, both tackles, actually. If they stick at 36, they've got a lot of draft capital, so they could potentially be, you know, one of those teams that makes a move into the late first round to get a player that they really like. But if they stuck at 36, will they get a starting offensive tackle?
I think they could. And again, I agree with you completely because of how much capital they have. I think they're a prime candidate to try to jump up back into the late first round if there's a tackle that they really like that's still on the board, just to make sure they get him and also get that fifth-year option on that rookie contract. I could see that happening. If they stick and pick, though, I think 36 and 40 are a great spot to get a tackle and an edge guy. I wouldn't put it past them to get two tackles if they really, really like him, right? Because I think this tackle class is so deep. We could have 6-7 offensive tackles in the first round and still end up with guys like Jordan Morgan from Arizona who could be on the board there. Kingsley Suamataia from BYU could be there. I think both those guys would be worth that pick. I really like Patrick Paul out of Houston. I think he would be a sleeper pick in that range in the second round there. So I think, again, the depth of this tackle class is a perfect year, not just for Washington to get value outside of the first round, but to double dip if they really wanted to. If they had a guy like Jordan Morgan, who they know they could stick on the left side and start right away, and then they got a guy like Suamataia at 40, and they could go left and right, that wouldn't shock me at all, and I think both those guys would start right away.
Does Washington draft a receiver before their top six in the first 100 are out?
Yes, I think they do, and I think it's because this receiver class is just too damn good. I think that there's going to be somebody, and if you look at that mock draft, I think, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of the third, I think that 100th overall pick, that comp pick they have from the 49ers, I think I have them picking a receiver just because there's so many.
McMillan kid from Washington.
I thought it was McMillan from Washington because there's just – I again, it's kind of like the Chop Robinson thing. I go through these exercises, and I'm like, how in the world is insert receiver name here, still on the board halfway through the second, still on the board halfway through the third, and we get all the way down to the 100th pick, and a guy like Jalen McMillan, who in any other draft would probably go in the second round, is still there. I think it's just going to be too deep a class, and they have too many picks in that range where if they stay at all of those spots, there's going to be a receiver at some point where they just tell themselves, I can't not take this guy. I can't pass on the talent that's there at the position, and because they have other picks where they can fill their other needs in different ways, I feel like at some point in that top 100, they're going to have to go receiver just because the board will fall that way.
You have them taking the tight end from Kansas State, Ben Sinnott, at 67. You have him rated higher than the kid from Ohio State, Stover?
I do. I think Ben Sinnott's one of the most well-rounded players in the whole draft. I think he's such a complete guy. He can create mismatches as a pass catcher, but he's also such a great blocker. He can line up in the backfield. He can be a move tight end. He can be a Y. He can do all the different things that you need a tight end to do, and that lets you be creative in your formations and not tip your hand, right? Sometimes if you have a one-trick pony as a tight end, one way or the other, if he's a blocking specialist or if he's just kind of a glorified wide receiver, you're tipping your hand to the defense that you're probably throwing or you're probably running. A guy like Ben Sinnott, such a great overall athlete and such a versatile player that when he's on the field, you're not telling the defense what you're doing. You could run just as well as you can throw. He can do so many things and line up in so many different spots. And I think that's going to be a sweet spot for this tight end class. And if he's still on the board, I could see him going in the second round. If he's still on the board, I think it'd be a great fit for Washington.
All right. For all you guys that do this, and I'll finish up with this, I appreciate the time. You've got somebody that you think, you know, people are sleeping on outside the top 15, outside the top 20, that you're going to look back and say you were right about. Who's that guy?
Man, there's a couple guys I really, really like. Max Melton is a corner out of Rutgers, yep. And Packers fans know all about him because Bo Melton is his brother. His mom won a conference championship at Rutgers as a basketball player. His dad played on the football team. So, like, that it runs in the family, a very athletic family there in the Melton household. But, again, versatile corner, can play inside, can play outside, had a great combine, great production. Just does too many things at a high level. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but I think any time in the second round he'll come off the board. I really like Junior Colson, linebacker out of Michigan. Again, a younger guy. He's 21, but a very, very high-character player, great athlete, three-down guy. There's a safety, a couple of safeties, Bo Braid out of Maryland. I really, really like. Yep. Some local people, listeners may or will know Bo Braid better than a lot of people. But, man, I think he's a top five safety in this draft. I really, really like his game as well. There's so many guys, man. This corner class is so deep. I could keep going on forever and ever. But this is it's a really, really deep draft class, man. It's a great class to have six picks in the top 100. I'll tell you that.
Luke, great job. Really appreciate it. Enjoy next week.
Hey, you do the same. Enjoy it. Take care.
Luke Easterling, everybody, from Athlon Sports on X, on Twitter, at Luke Easterling, joining us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Caps got the win last night. TJ Oshie with an empty net goal in a tie game. It was kind of an odd final few minutes in Philadelphia, but the Caps have really put it together here over the last couple of months, especially over the weekend and last night. They are going to face the New York Rangers in the first round of the NHL playoffs. Chris Russell, who hosts the show right after mine, sometimes solo, sometimes with Doc, sometimes with Linnell, but 1-4 right here, as most of you know, on the Team 980. So Rooster jumps on with us. We'll talk football here in a moment, but you know hockey. It's a passion of yours. It was kind of an odd ending last night. I mean, maybe this has happened. You would know, end of regular season, have to win in regulation, but a tie game in an empty net was an odd circumstance. As it turns out, by the way, they didn't need to do it because Detroit had already forced overtime and eliminated Philadelphia. They just didn't know it.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kev. Thanks for having me. I don't remember a situation like that. I mean, vaguely, maybe there was one, but it was a long time ago and I haven't had time to research it, so maybe I'm missing one. But to your point, right, and I didn't, honestly, here's where I screwed up. There were so many different scenarios besides just win and in for the Capitals, which we all understood, and win of any sort, whatever, and they could have gone to overtime and won there and all that and still made the playoffs. There were so many different scenarios that I thought the Flyers simply had to
win. Why did you say it that way?
Well, because
you and I both say it the same way, and nobody else does.
It's my tribute to you every day, especially when Doc is with me. We talk about a lot of scenarios.
Yeah. I don't think we're the only people, but go ahead.
Well, you have made scenario famous in my eyes. Anyway,
well, I had all of the playoff scenarios down before that game last night.
I knew exactly
what needed to happen.
I didn't, from Philadelphia's perspective. I knew Philadelphia had to win in regulation. So
came down to the sixth tiebreaker,
right? But what I didn't know was that if Detroit got a point, which they did with 3 seconds left, that Philadelphia was out before they ultimately made that decision. And I know it kind of happened all in the same time window, and I was going back and forth. I had an NFL coach texting me last night, okay? He was like, hey, man, turn on ESPN. Don't just watch the Caps. He's like, you know, Detroit and Montreal are going at it, and they had gone at it the night before, and that game.
What NFL coach texted you to switch channels to the ESPN?
I'm telling you, it's a coach that you would remember. Let's just put it that way, okay?
Was it your guy? Was it Hazlitt?
No, it was not him.
Okay.
No.
Was it Danny Smith?
No, it was not him. You're in sort of the same neighborhood. I'll just leave.
Yeah,
it
I know
at that.
I am.
But anyway,
it was when you were out there,
right? Well, yeah, but I mean, I did span a couple of different coaches and people that
I paid attention to the one when you were here.
but anyway, the bottom line is right. Maybe Tortorella obviously didn't have to do what he did, which then TJ Oshie immediately capitalized. But let's not take away credit. And I've heard you a lot this morning. I haven't heard everything that you've said. I don't think you're doing this. I don't know how many people are doing this locally, but I think the sentiment that I have, the feeling that I have nationally is, oh, the Capitals are lucky. Oh, they wouldn't have won that. Oh, they wouldn't have made the playoffs if Torts didn't pull the goaltender. First of all, they could have, again, won in overtime. They could have won in a shootout, number one. They could have even gotten in, depending on certain other circumstances. Now, they would have needed a lot of help. So let's not just chalk this up to the Capitals only clinching a playoff spot because Tortorella is a dumbass. And I dispute that, just that assertion alone.
They had to win a regulation game. It was their best chance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was very much aware of that scenario. I was not aware of the other situation where if Detroit got a point that eliminated Philadelphia, even if Philadelphia won in ultimately regulation. You see where I'm
at. So tell me this. Mm-hmm. Goalie is really important this time of year, and the Caps have a hot goaltender right now.
Yep.
Describe how hot Charlie Lindgren is and how good he is right now. And do you think it gives them a fighting chance against the Rangers?
Yes, I do. They usually play the Rangers pretty well, and they did this year. And I believe he authored a 2-0 shutout. I'd have to double check that to make sure it was Charlie Lindgren. But I believe that was the case earlier this year. I think Lindgren, the thing about him that jumps out to me, and maybe I'm not right about this with all the analytics and the statistics, it does not seem like he gives up a lot of juicy rebounds. And that is something that you see a lot of goaltenders, especially younger goaltenders. And Charlie's not young. I mean, he's inexperienced by and large because he's always been a backup, and hadn't really gotten a starting opportunity until, you know, the last third or whatever of this year. But I don't sense him giving up a lot of juicy rebounds, which then leads to dirty goals and a lot of bang-bang type goals that your defense and sometimes your goaltending can't even do anything about. I think he sees the puck pretty well. I don't think he has a major flaw, Kev. It's not like, oh, you know, shoot here and he's, you know, I've seen goaltenders that if you shoot at their glove side and shoot high and get it on net, they are going to give up a goal. That's not Charlie Lindgren. I mean, he made a glove save and then some. I think it was Saturday against Tampa. It just, you know, just like Ricky Henderson style with the snatch of the glove that was going in, right? That's not Charlie Lindgren. So to me, as long as I think he maintains, as long as he's not worn out completely, I think Charlie Lindgren is going to give them a chance. The one guy, there's more guys than one, but the guy that I worry about that consistently is given Washington problems over the years from the Rangers is Mika Zibanejad. I mean, they have other guys, Artemi Panera and the Breadman and all that stuff. They have other guys. But Mika Zibanejad has always given the Capitals problems over the years. And the Capitals have had this, like, weird history in the playoffs since winning the Cup of giving up, like, I don't know, 9 goals in a 5-game series to Carter Verhaeghe, you know? Right. And I wonder and I worry about that. But I do think they have an absolute chance.
I mean, it's the NHL playoffs. Yep. I mean, it's completely unpredictable, and we've seen this happen a lot.
Yep. You started the show saying that, and you're right.
Watching Ovechkin last night celebrate, and then the big smile on his face when he was sitting there during the last few seconds, mm-hmm. watching him walk into the locker room, seeing him interviewed. I don't know. I get this feeling like this was super important for the franchise, super important for him. Not that he's not coming back next yep. year to chase down Gretzky, but you just never know. I mean, this could be the last playoff, yep. you know, swan song. I know the team's younger and they're getting better, but I was excited about that. Yeah, let's talk some.
Yeah. Nobody gave Florida a chance last year against Boston, which was a right. juggernaut in the regular season, won the President's Trophy, all that. Nobody gave Florida the 8th seed a chance, and they won. You know,
I think so, I asked Greg Wyshynski this yesterday, and I'll ask you. Is New York this year better than Boston was last year?
I don't think they are based on what I've seen, but it's not like a wide gap or anything like okay. that. I think the Rangers are pretty damn good. I just think that the Capitals match up a little bit better. They would match up better with Boston than they do the Rangers because it's too physical, kind of grinded out, more style teams. Not to say that Boston just is that, but that's more their style. The Rangers have a little more speed and transition than the Bruins, but I think the Bruins were a little bit deeper overall roster, to, you know, top to bottom of the roster last year, and yet they lost in a 7th game in overtime at home to the Panthers, the 8th seed.
All right, looking forward to the series. It starts this weekend. We don't have a game one time or date yet, do we?
I have not seen anything yet, but I would imagine.
This is going to be a series that gets a lot of yeah. national TV games, Chris, don't you think?
I agree. I would think Saturday evening, 7:30 ABC is my guess for game one, but I don't know that.
All right. So who do you want them to draft next Thursday night, and who do you think they'll draft at number two next Thursday night?
All right, so we're going to differ on this. I know you want Jaden. Over the weekend, I had been leaning towards Jaden most of the way, and I even said back in mid-January I'd take Jaden over, and this was without doing any homework, I'd take Jaden over Drake May or Caleb Williams. I said that back in mid-January, and everybody just harpooned me. As I dug into it, and you know, I'm watching TV cut-ups, I think just like you. I'm not watching coaches' tape. I'm not doing any of that stuff. But I'm watching a bunch, and I've seen a lot of these guys. I came finally to the realization this weekend that the guy with still, for me, the higher upside, and I don't know if he can quite get there, is Drake May. So I'm going to go with Drake May based on size, arm strength, higher upside, less experience, meaning I think he has the work ethic and the personality and the family history and the everything, the moxie, if you will, to grow and get better, just like Jaden Daniels did. We kind of discount the fact that Jaden Daniels is 23.5. And Drake May is 21.5, right? We kind of discount that. Oh, Drake May can't get any better than this. Sure, you know what, he can. Now, that's not to say Jaden can't get better. Jaden can get better, and Jaden did get a lot better this year. Kevin, I come back to this. Either I'm missing something, or maybe I'm not. I don't know. PFF, Dane Brugler, and 33rd team, all three of them had Drake May is QB2 over Jaden Daniels, QB3, and two of the three, PFF and I think it was 33rd team, which is all coaches and executives, had Jaden Daniels out of the top 20 in terms of their overall big board prospects. Not that that's like a huge deal, but it is a little bit concerning, right? And some of the criticisms of Drake May is footwork and pocket awareness and all that. what I've seen and the people that I've talked to, and I know you've talked to a ton of people, is people do feel those are correctable. And I didn't think they were enormous gaping problems on every throw, every drop, every game, every series, all that. I just thought, you know, it did come up. I'm not denying that it didn't come up. I noticed it more, I think, in the Syracuse, starting with the Syracuse, or maybe it was the Miami game this year, and it got progressively worse. So I would say, like, Drake May's got a lot to work on, and I don't know if he would be ready for week one, but I'm still slightly leaning towards him. And it's not a big gap or anything like that.
Look, I don't think there's, for us, there's a wrong answer here, especially when we're talking about, you know, those two, because I think they're close. I actually think Daniels is closer to Williams than maybe May is to Daniels, but I get it. I get the arguments for and against all of these guys, but who do you think they'll take?
I do think they'll ultimately take Jaden Daniels. So
why do you think they'll ultimately take Jaden Daniels?
Maybe this is me being guilty of listening to every NFL insider in the world that says all, you know, including our guy Schefter, who, you know, I know you talk to, I talk to, you know, and what he said publicly and, you know, privately and whatever. I mean, Albert Breer, all signs point to, you know, this people. Oh, Peter Schrager, who is supposedly very close to Cliff Kingsbury, said, I think it was this morning or maybe it was yesterday on Rich Eisen's show, people inside the building. This was the first reference I heard to people inside the building. Schrager noted that. He said, talking to people around the league, executives, coaches, whatnot, they all he qualified and said, and people inside the building. And he's supposedly very close with Cliff Kingsbury. And he said Jaden Daniels. So, again, maybe I'm reading the tea leaves a little bit too much. The other thing is, I wonder, we know it's not Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and trying to sell tickets and jerseys as the number one thing.
Right.
But you and I are smart enough to know that Josh Harris wants to make money and he wants to sell tickets and he wants to sell a Commander's jersey, logo, apparel, paraphernalia that a lot of people aren't buying because they hate the name. And I know we differ on that, but so to me, I do wonder if they lean towards the more pro ready quarterback right now, the more exciting prospect, the one that gets his fan base, his customer base in an absolute lather. I think fans would be disappointed by Drake May and or certainly JJ McCarthy. So I think it's Jaden Daniels. I hope, but again, it's not a huge hope. It's not like, oh my God, I hate Jaden Daniels. Not by any means. I hope it's Drake May.
I don't think that, I think there'd be maybe a slight difference between Daniels and May in terms of fan reaction and merch, et cetera.
Really?
I think you're right. I think most people who watch college football would be surprised if J.J. McCarthy's at number two. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of goodwill right now out there and a lot of belief in something that isn't Dan that they'll be able to sell whomever they take. I just hope that they don't make a decision based on any of the things that we just talked about.
I agree with you.
Only about the guy that they think they'll win the most with.
Well, is that but is that JJ McCarthy? Yeah. Because that's what he is. You know, like I had a coach that knows Dan Quinn very, 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 very well. Okay. And 2 weeks ago, unsolicited, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, I can't remember, just unsolicited, said, hey, you know, and the JJ McCarthy stuff had already come out, like they had met with him, but it was after they met for dinner with JJ and Ann Arbor, and they said, watch out for this guy. And I've kind of sort of not dismissed it, but kind of backed off. I think I did the numbers. He averaged like, I think it was 17 pass attempts in his 40 or so college games. I think I did the math, and if I did the math right, I'm just pulling it up. 17.8 passing attempts in his 40-some-odd college games, including the playoff games, including the big games against, you know, TCU, Alabama. You remember that,
right?
How he carved up Ohio State and Columbus. I know you know this. You watch more college football than anybody alive on planet Earth. But, I mean, he can be a big-time performer in big-time spots. I just don't know if you ask him to do it 30, 35 times a game on average.
Yeah, we don't know.
I just
he hasn't
know.
Done that.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Who's on with you?
Linnell is today, and we're going to have Zach Kruger from Roto World, who is a local guy and who's done a lot of this analytical type stuff on the quarterbacks in terms of wide open targets and wide open percentage, and of course the pressure to sack ratio, which I know you've talked about with some of your guests and on the show and whatnot. We're going to have Zach Kruger and might have somebody else, not sure yet.
All right, good job. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate you.
Chris Russell, Linnell coming up at the top of the hour. There's a big story that just broke that I will share with you when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The NBA just announced that they have banned Jontay Porter from the league for good. Porter provided confidential information to bettors, limited his own participation in games for gambling purposes, and bet on NBA games himself. He is the brother of Denver Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr., very much a role player with Toronto, but he gave a bettor information about his own health status before a game on March 20th, and that bettor bet $80,000 that Porter would not hit the individual prop bet numbers that were set for him, and the bet would have won $1.1 million. Porter took himself out of the game after only a few minutes claiming illness. The bet was frozen and was not paid out. That is the only way to handle these things. This is 100% the right thing to do. Anybody that provides confidential information to bettors, anybody that bets on NBA games or bets on their own sport against or for, banned. I have a feeling a lot of young people in professional sports with the proliferation of legalized sports betting don't really understand the impact that this has on so many people, but more importantly, the integrity of the sport in which they play. They've got to get that message out when it happens. I am off the next 2 days. I'm heading out of town. I will be back for every day next week. But Doc is sitting in for me tomorrow, 10 to 1, Friday, 10 to 1. And then Denton and I will be back on Monday. Thanks to Chris for doing a great job the last week. Enjoy Chris and Linnell coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.